think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Golly, that's one of the worst passes I've ever seen Tom Brady throw. I watched it live and just saw the replay. The hell was he throwing that ball to in the second half in a 17-17 ball game? Come on, Tampa Bay. Tom Brady, not good last night. Nope. And especially throwing the ball down the field. He was fine with the underneath stuff to Antonio Brown, but the Rams get a big win. We'll recap that Monday Night Football game, what it means for both sides, Bucks and Rams. Rams really impressive last night. And if we said yesterday that the Rams were going to run the ball for about 42 yards, are they going to beat the Buccaneers? I think both of us said, nah, probably not.
No.
They did, because Jared Goff was really good last night. Also, in our TMZ segment there, Hot or Not,
yes, sir.
We learned about the Morris twins, who share everything, including their bank account, as close as they come, and you're not a fan. So when one gets a tattoo, the other goes in and gets the exact same tattoo.
Yes.
Yeah, they go together.
Oh, they do look alike. The big question is, when they played at Kansas, who made more?
I just don't get it.
It's a fair question.
You know what?
They don't look at me like that.
They had some things go on in their life. That's what that's about. There were some experiences that they had as kids, and this is what they said they were going to do, and they decided to carry it out. You know, some people say stuff and don't really carry it out. Obviously, these two said, we're going to share our money together, too, when we go to the NBA. That was probably one of those things that they made
as
a bond.
Does that change, though, when one guy signs a $64 million deal and the other signs?
Well, if I'm the other guy, hell yeah, that would change.
Do you alter that stance a little bit?
But they kept some kind of promise they made to each other. So I guess I get it, but one is married. I know if I'm the wife, I'm saying, you're not sharing nothing with your brother.
Went to the same college, obviously. They're 7 minutes apart. This guy says, yo, I'm a twin, and my white ass works too hard to split my earnings with my brother.
That's what I'm saying. That's a hard deal to... And both married or just the one's married?
Just the one is married. Markeith is married.
Okay.
And has a daughter. They don't share that, I don't believe. Stop with the Earl Thomas text about Earl Thomas and
his brother.
That's not.
You can now stop with that. Yes, you've already played that out.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. They made that decision a long time ago, right? That's pretty cool. When I think about it, my mind stopped going to really different places where it's dark and it's fuzzy and dirty. So my mind is now back to a normal place where normal people think that that's just something that they decided to do a long time ago. And good for them to carry that out.
Well, now bro is saying, wait a second, $64 million, two league minimum.
They don't even think about it. They just said they were going to do it.
Yo, bro, that's my brother.
Same tattoo.
Can we revisit this conversation? Happy to share a little bit, but...
But you're not making enough right now.
When we were at Kansas together, we were splitting that payment from Adidas or Nike, whatever it was.
Well, Rod Baber shares tattoos. I mean, you know, bros share tattoos. You know, like when you become a brother.
By the way, that's
not
true.
Really a
we know about
brother.
The wood.
The wood. Remember
Rod
the
Babers
wood?
And San Francisco head coach Kyle Shanahan.
Shano.
Chris Sims.
And the tight end.
Bo Scaife.
They share the same.
And I think there's a wide receiver, Montrell Flowers.
He's a part of it, too. Now they got
five
a fifth.
Of them.
Did they get a fifth to join in on that?
You know what happened? I was thumbing through some movies recently. I actually saw that movie for the first time, The Wood, from the 90s.
It's okay.
I could see as a college student when they were playing football together, that would be a movie you could kind of bond over. It's kind of a dude coming of age.
Couple of dudes. Hey, dude, let's go get some tattoos together. We'll all get the same.
Yeah, and then they went and got a wood tattoo. That was their bond.
Where's it located? Down in their ankle?
It's on their ankle somewhere.
Oh, boy. They got ankle bracelets, ankle monitors together.
Listen, you've got a butterfly tattoo on
your shoulder. That was a
mistake.
That was the tattoo guy's fault. I pointed at the dragon.
That's back when you were drinking and you stumbled into a tattoo parlor. Is that how this went?
I said, listen, see that one right there? And he goes, gotcha. I woke up with a butterfly. Because I did have to fall asleep at that time when I went into that parlor by myself. Yes. Well, yes, indeed.
All right. But so, I mean, yes, those four or five dudes, including Rod Babers and Kyle Shanahan, have the same tattoo. That is true.
Do you think any of them have gotten rid of that? Or are they still?
That's a painful process.
Are they woodies together? You know what I mean? Are they wood wood bros together?
I don't know what they do with their wood. I really don't. That's not something I've thought about much until you brought it up.
Oh, no.
Speaking of wood, yes. Thank you to Lorena, I believe. Yeah, Lorena sent us the video, the actual, because we told you the story of Mike McCarthy using a sledgehammer and watermelons to be emphatic with his team in Minnesota on Saturday night to prove his point, to try to have some fun, motivate the team. He was smashing pumpkins with, hey, that's a rock band, Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing melons.
He was smashing pumpkins with, well, there's Blind Melon and there's Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
Two different bands. But they were smashing. He was smashing pumpkins with a sledgehammer. And remember when it was time for new lockers at Texas, you know, those new fancy lockers, they had to demo the old ones. So Tom Herman took us. And the video of him is still so funny. When he goes to swing that hammer at that.
That thing rejected him.
Oh, man, he almost fell over. He went recoiled. He tripped over another hammer that was laying on the ground.
He could have hurt himself.
Yeah. I mean, it would have only been funnier had he tripped, because he nearly
did.
Yeah,
but the effort that he put in, he thought he was going right through that thing.
Now, that old oak
piece of oak?
That old oak locker didn't move. Didn't move. It bounced him.
How about those new lockers work for him?
They look good.
Okay.
They look good.
That oak looked like it was going to last a long time.
That was built to last.
It was built to last.
It may have been kind of like 80s style or 70s style.
It wasn't cheap.
That was not particle board.
No.
In the old locker room in Texas. Hey, let's get to your trending topics, and then we're going to tell you, you know what happened on this day? This is a big moment. Big moment, Buck. That happened on this day, gosh, what was it, 9 years ago today? I'll let you hear the highlight and relive it. It was 9 years ago this day, but first the news. Top Gun, Lana Quimarels bring you the news. And yeah, Texas football, Longhorns, 20th ranked team in the country, hit the practice field yesterday to begin game week prep for their showdown with 15th ranked Iowa State on Friday morning. It will be senior day for the Longhorns, including Sam Ehlinger, their starting quarterback. Now, thanks to the bye week and a COVID postponement by Kansas, Texas hadn't played a game since November the 7th, which has allowed Texas to get some players back from injury and be as healthy as they've been in a while. Starting quarterback Sam Ehlinger should be as healthy as he's been since the start of the season. Team also expects the full return of wide receivers Joshua Moore and Jordan Whittington, as well as tight ends Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley. On defense, defensive tackle Keandre Coburn back at full speed after he sprained his ankle in that West Virginia game 3 weeks ago. Texas and Iowa State kick at 11 o'clock on Friday. You'll hear it, of course, live here on the Horn, 7 o'clock, Longhorn game day. We go live with our pregame coverage. Recruiting news, another bad one for the Longhorns. Bad headline. On the heels of landing Quinn Ewers, the number one quarterback prospect for the 2022 recruiting cycle from South Lake Carroll, the Ohio State Buckeyes also got the verbal commitment from five-star wide receiver Kalen Burton from Del Valle yesterday. Del Valle, Texas, right down the road here. Burton's a five-star recruit, top wideout in the state of Texas for the class of 2022, according to 24/7 Sports. Monday Night Football last night to wrap up Week 11. Jared Goff outdueled Tom Brady as the Rams held on for a 24-7 win over Tampa. As they get the victory, big win for the Rams. They're now 7-3 in the NFC West, and to top that division, same record as Seattle, but they do have the tiebreak right now. Tom Brady and the Bucs, not a good loss. They fall to 7-4, game and a half back of streaking New Orleans in the NFC South. Elsewhere in the NFL, backsliding Ravens placed running backs Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins on the reserve COVID list yesterday. They both have tested positive for COVID-19. They will not play Thursday night when the Ravens play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Turkey Night. And the season over for Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, reigning Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick in last April's draft, torn ACL and MCL. It's now been made official in Sunday's win or game with Washington. The severity of that injury is worst-case scenario for the Bengals. It's typically a 9-month to 12-month recovery. That brings into question his availability into next season.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
This month, get up to $400 off a Hustler Raptor zero-turn mower and 20% off any Husqvarna blower or chainsaw in stock during November.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Okay, 9 years ago today, Buck, it was actually at night. Do we remember this? Where we were 9 years ago, 2011? See if we can hear this.
The final play of the rivalry. Tucker's kick is up. Justin's kick is good! It's good! And the Texas Longhorns have won the final rivalry matchup with Texas A&M. Justin Tucker drives it home.
There you go. Guy named Justin Tucker, now maybe the best kicker in the history of the NFL, nails a game-winning field goal. Texas beats Texas A&M 27-25. Craig Way with the call.
I think I remember. I was at home, yeah. I remember that call.
Fairly big deal in these parts, my friend. Fairly big deal.
And the quarterback was?
the greatest American hero.
And that's why I remember it. I don't remember it for the kick. I remember it for the quarterback. The greatest American hero. The guy was awesome.
Case McCoy. What do you mean you don't remember for the kick? The kick, without the kick, there's no win.
Wait a minute. No. Without Case McCoy getting running, taking the ball, tucking it under, and going for about 30, I remember that run.
And then the 15-yard penalty that came beyond it that was not, I didn't think that was a very good call.
That was a terrible call.
They called the unsportsmanlike conduct
call. Okay. Good call.
Yeah, big
win. It worked out. Case, I think, tucked it twice during that drive, did he not?
Yeah, with his legs to extend the drive. And
of course I can remember that. I don't remember the kick, but I remember.
Kick was fairly important to the whole process.
I was backing that young man. That guy was a stud. He got it done.
He was a winner.
He was a winner.
He was not his brother, but see,
no.
Very few are, right? I mean, even Case would say that. Colt set records at Texas nationally that will never be broken.
But for what he had to offer, that guy offered everything. He offered everything, heart and soul and everything that he had every time he took the field. And I think people appreciated that. I did watching him play.
Well, it's an argument that you can make, and I think you would win it, that he's the best quarterback Texas had at the helm until Sam.
Yes.
Is that fair?
I think so.
I mean, Shane Buechele's turned out to be a really good quarterback, but he was, as a freshman, a young quarterback, wasn't. Is Case McCoy the best quarterback since Colt?
What about?
Not named Sam?
Swoops, there it is.
19-wheeler. Not David
Ash. Don't forget the 18-wheel package. Remember that baby going in there.
I'd like to forget it. I would certainly like to forget it.
It snapped to him. He's going to drop step, and he's running. Oh, they're short. Yeah, don't forget that. Don't forget about that.
Well, and that's where we'll pay tribute this week to Sam Ehlinger. We'll hear Tom Herman talking about his legacy, and how he has stabilized this program. And look, it was 9 years ago today, that game. It's the last time the Aggies met the Longhorns on a football field. Such a shame. But I have presented the opportunity that they could meet again this year. Well, it would be early 2021. Because I do think that there is a realistic scenario to where, and we'll find out a lot more about it on Friday when Texas plays Iowa State. If they can win that game, there's a realistic shot Texas can be playing Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. If they win that game and are 9-2, not in the Final Four, their likely destination on a New Year's One bowl would be the Cotton Bowl. And A&M could be in the very same situation if they win out, once they can finally get back to playing again at Texas A&M. But they're not going to overtake Alabama, which means they're not going to play in the SEC championship game, which means they're not likely to make the Final Four. Well, where's their natural spot, right? It's going to be in the Cotton Bowl against whoever's in the Cotton Bowl. On January 1, could we have a Texas A&M matchup? I presented that as an idea, you know, before the bye week, and I still think it's realistic. I know people will immediately say, well, the SEC would never let it happen. They would push A&M into the Sugar Bowl, but I think if Florida plays Alabama in the SEC championship game, the loser of that game is going to be pushing for the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Loser would go Sugar. That puts the A&M Aggies at 3 in the SEC,
right?
Even though A&M beat Florida in the regular season, well, that drops them to the Cotton Bowl, which that's where Texas would be. Now they've got to win 4 games to get there, but 9 years since they last played. Put it out there as a conversation. And when you go wherever you do for Thanksgiving, maybe bring it up with your Aggie family. Wouldn't you like to see that? And just get the pulse. Would people want to see that? Because I still know we'll get texts from people say, oh, hell no. Don't want any part of the Aggies.
I don't get that. No. I still don't get that part. Sure, you want to see that game.
Yeah, well, but I'm not either one.
Like,
right? I'm not a Longhorn. I'm not an Aggie. I didn't go to either school. And so as an observer and a commentator and a fan of great sports and sports events, I would love to see that. Certainly since it hasn't happened in 9 years, for crying out loud, and it should be an annual event. By the way, A&M does get back to playing football this weekend on Saturday. They play LSU at Kyle Field.
Good place for them to play that game, and LSU is not being very good right now.
And remember, the Aggies still have to play at Auburn, and you know Auburn plays the Iron Bowl this weekend against the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Guess what? That number's not big enough either right now.
You don't think so?
No.
They play Saturday as well in the SEC.
That number's 21, 23. That's not enough. Roll Tide.
It's a rivalry game. 23?
Alabama doesn't have any rivalries. Guess who beat them last year? Yeah, they're going to be mad this week.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that. Yeah, think about that one. Bet U.S. That's one that...
That's what you told me last week about Ohio State and Indiana. Indiana played with the love, played with the heart, and they got it to a seven-point game.
That thing was ridiculous, too. I also said Utah, which I said Iowa State, which everybody was like, come on, they're not going to beat K-State. And the Oklahoma Sooners, that was supposed to be a rivalry game, too. That wasn't very much of a rivalry. That was what Oklahoma generally does to Oklahoma State, right? Lately.
Yeah.
That's generally what they do to them.
Yeah.
And Mike Gundy on the big stage once again, the national stage.
And that was Lincoln Riley at his best, and that's what I'm hoping to see from Tom Herman and his staff. Because
you know when Mike Gundy's at his best? When he's just kind of back and they have just games.
Well, you know
and
why?
They're not nationally, well, and look, whatever.
Mike Gundy, after a couple of Bud Lights, would tell you this too, because Oklahoma has better players. And when we recruit, Oklahoma recruits a higher level of a player than we do. We've done a pretty good job, but when it's equal to equal – and we get on a big stage with Oklahoma, they typically have more difference makers than we have. And that's been the case. There's been a few occasions where Oklahoma's had a, a Dez Bryant or someone of that ilk. But and that's where Texas is. That's what I'm talking about with Texas.
I mean, yeah, and all those players from the state of Texas, most of them, which is funny.
Right. Well, I mean, we saw Lincoln Riley in a big spot. Dial up. I mean, that was 21-0 before you could blink, and you had three untouched touchdowns. I mean, that's great coaching. That's great scheme against whatever you say about Oklahoma State in 2020. Their defense is pretty good, and they made him look silly. That's good coaching, good scheme, and that's what Lincoln Riley does. I'm asking why Texas can't do the same with 3 weeks to prepare for an Iowa State team in which they have superior athletes. Why you can't come out on fire, build a lead, and make that team chase you? Why is that not within your ability at Texas?
Because you say things like, well, here's what's going to happen if the guy at Michigan gets fired. They're going to ask for the guy at Iowa State because they have better coaching.
Well,
What it is. It's better coaching. Why was the game so close with Texas when Lincoln Riley didn't have any players? Because Vegas said they have a better coach at Oklahoma. Well, right?
And that's that should tell the tale. I mean, that's Stu. Then you're probably not. I mean, because I do think if you're Texas and you get into a fourth quarter game with this Iowa State team, you're likely to lose it. Because I think they're gonna because of that coaching and because of what they do, like it was last year.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, you beat them 2 years ago when Brock Purdy came in here as a freshman.
That's
and there
right.
was a lot of ballyhoo for Iowa State that they could do something they'd never done before, and they fell flat. And Texas really dominated that game, and credit to Tom Herman. But last year, he went up there and lost to them. In a game that, again, player for player, you had no business losing
that
football
game. That was just an ugly football game.
And your offense was wretched. All I'm saying is whatever the reasons were for the poor offense this year, whatever the new coaches, new scheme, unfamiliarity, whatever, right? Injuries at receiver and all the stuff we've talked about, there are none of those Friday. They're as healthy as they've been. They're fresh. Quarterback is healthy. You've had 3 weeks to put in a game plan that can attack what you need to against Iowa State. I just watched Lincoln Riley do it again, and that's what will be a signal that you early have turned a corner. And Tom Herman wants to talk about that. That is his program. They've stuck together. They fought through some adversity.
Work
Here
in
they
progress.
Are.
That's what it is.
Well, and I'll take that phrase. Then the work in progress should show up as a completed task Friday. Because there aren't any more excuses. And it can't be, oh, we've been off for 3 weeks, so we're rusty. That is not going to fly.
We haven't played a game. That doesn't work.
To me, the work in progress should be completed
now. And I still believe that from a coaching standpoint, you wanted that game at Kansas because there's nothing better than to play against an opponent. Even a bad opponent, you needed to get that play. But in this case, I'm kind of liking it. You didn't get anybody hurt. You're fresher. Everybody's still ready to go.
This thing's fallen perfectly for you.
Yeah, and you there's nothing that you go into the game saying, did you see what we just did to Kansas? We're on a roll. You don't have that in your system anymore. What you have is the fact that you got a chance to see it live, Iowa State, not live, right on TV. Everybody watched it from your team, watched Iowa State play, and you've been talking about them ever since that you knew when you weren't going to play Kansas. That's been on your mind.
Right, and you and Matt Campbell have gone head-to-head on three occasions now. This is the fourth.
Yes.
They're not going to do anything. They don't do anything at Iowa State that's surprising. They are what they are. They're unique in what they do, but that's why I point out Lincoln Riley on Saturday night. He had an extra week to prepare for Mike Gundy and a very good defense and a good team, and the game plan, the execution of said game plan was dynamic, and I don't know why Texas under Tom. This is what he was hired to do, is be dynamic offensively, fix the offensive identity crisis at Texas. You've got a senior quarterback. You're as healthy as you've been.
Someone says we're talking about like they're losers. I'm with you. They have better players. I've watched Iowa State play. That was the best game they played since they played Oklahoma. They're good enough to beat some of these other teams where TCUs of the world.
I'm not calling them losers. I'm saying if they get into a close game in the fourth quarter, I would probably favor Iowa State. I'm saying that you've had 2 weeks with sharpening your passing game. This should be the most complete offensive performance Texas has played.
And you shouldn't be in a fourth quarter shootout. You should win the game.
Yeah. I think if you can match the improvement defensively and special teams with your most complete offensive performance, you can win this game. Not I won't say handle it, because I'm not going to, I'm not saying blowout. I'm saying comfortably win the game, but be in control of the game. Put Iowa State on its heels. They're coming in here playing for big things. They haven't won a Big 12 ever. I mean, they come in here with that opportunity. You've got to take that out of them early on Friday, in my mind, and you have every reason to be able to do so with the extra time to prepare, the health factor.
Tom Bo Herman is good when he has time.
Yes, he is, and that's where I can confidently say this should be your best offensive performance, Coach. This should be what you are. There's no excuse of new coaches and lack of familiarity and injuries and all the stuff we've talked about. You've had reps, you've had time, you've got good health, you've got the home field. So show us what you got.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And if he can get that done and move on and play in that game, I'm still saying it'll be tough to. I know what people would like to happen, but if you make it to the championship game, that's pretty good. That's moving in the right direction.
Well, and to my scenario, if you can make it to the championship game, you have an opportunity now to beat Oklahoma and maybe beat the Aggies in your last two games of 2020.
God, would that be cool?
That'd be unbelievable. Think about that scenario. As ugly as it got and toxic as it got through October, Tom Herman has that opportunity. Can he get it there? We'll all watch and see. And obviously there's no guarantee of playing Aggies.
Yeah, and once again, everybody's crossing their fingers week by week. Get these games played.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the COVID thing is just omnipresent. That does not go away. All right, so those are some thoughts on Texas, some thoughts on sledgehammers, and Texas A&M 9 years ago. We will continue those conversations. How bad was Tom Brady last night, especially when it mattered most for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We'll talk about that. He was outplayed by Jared Goff badly last night as the Rams got a big win. We'll talk Monday Night Football and the hierarchy of the NFC and AFC as we move forward. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got your salacious gossip. And, oh, man, these blitzes have been raucous of late. So you bring that before the end of this hour. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn that, already feels like a Wednesday as we're getting you over the hump into your Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Tomorrow will feel like a Friday as we get into the actual weekend. And we've got football on the brain coming out of last night's Monday Night Football game. Also, Craig Way sent a text to remind us that the Sugar Bowl is part of the college football playoff this year. So no SEC teams will be pushed to that unless it's Alabama, right, in a playoff scenario. But Craig also reminded us that the New Year's Six bowl games have their selections not controlled by the conferences.
Mm.
So the Cotton Bowl would have an opportunity to potentially pit Texas against Texas A&M if both were to win out from here. And Texas, obviously, at that point would be a Big 12 conference champion. There's a lot of football to be played to accomplish that, but it's within the realm. And same for Texas A&M as they play LSU on Saturday with three games remaining and, barring something unforeseen, they're not going to have a chance to play in the SEC championship, the Aggies, because Alabama would have to lose twice and the Aggies would have to win out for that to be a possibility. So that's where we sit in late November, that we could maybe for the first time in 9 years on the anniversary of the last time Texas played Texas A&M. We played the Justin Tucker kick that won it. And Case McCoy, that says, how can you guys even mention the greatest American hero and not play his theme song? Zay, we got to have the greatest American hero theme
song.
That's for
sure, man.
Because believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
That's right, man.
Never thought I could feel so free.
I was driving that train for him. Remember, I was driving the train. We're doing shows at Schultz's, and I had people having a little
in that train.
Yeah, man.
That guy was cocaine. Was that the
no? Not at that time.
The great song.
Yeah, but we were like, blow that horn, man. Let's go get on board. Case McCoy had it going on because he was going to give everything he had every time he took the field.
Yeah, no, that's the last time they
played. Talking about a guy who never set his feet when he threw? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was not. That was not like the.
It looked like Pat Mahomes before Pat Mahomes. I mean, he was throwing sidearm.
But different.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. It was different, though. Yeah, it wasn't quite the same, but.
Yeah, that was one of those you would not teach Case McCoy's form to a young quarterback.
No, no,
right?
Never.
But he found a way. It's kind of Bernie Kosar-ish. Real Bernie Kosar back in the day, the great Miami Hurricanes quarterback, Cleveland Browns. But so we'll talk more college football and the Longhorns. Somebody said, E, the Longhorns didn't actually have extra days for Iowa State, only a few. Well, I don't. The Texas has had 3 weeks off. And if you don't think that in the bye week ahead of Kansas they were working on Iowa State, I think you would be, I mean, that's, you know what coaches do.
That's what coaches do.
And coaches work on their conference mates year-round. But
coaches will never tell you that we're going to slaughter this team. We prepare for them. We do one game at a time. No, they don't. They go. You start
look
preparing.
Ahead as yes. a coach. Now, you know, the Kansas, not competitive. So even if they had played Kansas, but they didn't.
Right.
So you had already maybe during the original bye week before the week off started to look ahead a little bit to what your Iowa State game plan would
sure.
be. And then when the game was canceled last Wednesday, that gave Texas coaches the rest of the week and the weekend to really start to drill down on Iowa State.
Yeah, they're not big things, guys. They're small things. There's stuff that if the punter doesn't do this, we're going after
yes.
this. There are a lot of things you work on.
Where are the weaknesses?
Yes.
Where can we attack?
Yeah.
We have our full arsenal of personnel outside
right.
of Keyonte Ingram at this point. Where are their weak points? Where can we hit them? Watch every play of every
Absolutely.
Game. And figure out how you attack this team. Then you build a game plan around that, install that game plan, and then you work on it this week to make sure you're ready to execute it. I mean, there has been extra time. I mean, you haven't played a football game. You haven't and it was a home game. You haven't played a game since November the 7th. You've had 3 weeks to rest and refocus and really, really sharpen the sword a little here. And that's
but during the press conference, there was only one guy, and it was Keyonte that they weren't quite sure of being ready
yes.
for this game.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And Keyonte's even questionable, not even ruled it out or doubtful. He's listed as questionable mm-hmm. for the game, but obviously Bijan Robinson needs to be a major factor in this football game. Okay, so we'll switch gears to the NFL last night. But how about this? Tom Brady was bad last night.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give the Rams credit. Rams defense is stingy. They're a very good defense. And Tom Brady in big moments was not good. And Bruce Arians continues to call out his quarterback. I mean, we should start by saying Jared Goff was excellent, and kudos, because Jared Goff takes a lot of heat. People call him a game manager, and he's the problem in L.A. Well, he outdueled Tom Brady last night. He threw 51 passes. The Rams only rushed for 42. He threw for 375 yards and gave his team the win. But Tom Brady threw a really costly interception in the second half when the game was 17-all that led to the Rams going down and going up 24-17. It was just a really bad throw across the middle. It looked like he was trying to throw a seam route to Chris Godwin, and he just threw it right to the safety. I mean, it was the easiest interception you've ever seen. And that flipped field position, flipped the game. They go up 7. But the Buccaneers then tied it, and the Rams took the lead with like 2:30-something to go.
Yep.
Well, that's way too much time, right? I mean, Tom Brady's at least going to get it. We saw Pat Mahomes do it last night on Sunday night. Now, Tom Brady's at least going to take them down the field.
There's a bunch of pro quarterbacks to do that when you give them that kind of time.
Yeah, 2:30, you got a 2-minute warning, you got timeouts, and I'm sure even Rams fans are watching that going, oh, geez, way too much time for Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady threw an interception, another one. And after the game, Bruce Arians says, quote, when guys are open, we got to hit them, and we can't misread coverage. He says, when guys are open, we got to hit them. He said, I felt very, very comfortable in the 2-minute drill drive until that throw. And says, we have to execute better. And Tom Brady's hurting his football team in big spots against good defenses. You know, we saw them play the New Orleans Saints a couple of Sunday nights ago and just get flattened by the Saints. This was I do think the Saints and the Rams have the best two defenses in the NFC and two of the better defenses in the league. But, Buck, there's a lot of weaponry there in Tampa.
Why isn't Tampa playing good defense? That was a defense that was supposed to start to come on. They really haven't.
I think they're playing okay defense, but I don't think they're on par with the Rams, and it's because of their secondary, and that's where Sean McVay, they're a very smart coach,
mm-hmm.
He didn't even try to run last night. I mean, gosh, Malcolm Brown had 3 carries. They didn't even try to run the football. They said, we're going to attack this secondary, and Jared Goff threw the ball 51 times, and they just picked him apart. And so, that's what makes the Rams and the Saints at a different level, because they can really cover, and they're really good in the front 7. And when you've got Jalen Ramsey to try to shadow Mike Evans all night long, Antonio Brown was the leading receiver by number of pass catches last night. But those were all real short passes. They kept everything underneath. And when Tom Brady's trying to push the ball down the field, he's not very good right now. He's not very good, and that's that puts a ceiling on what the that can be. But it is interesting to me that Bruce Arians is open to criticize Tom Brady. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying Bill Belichick would rarely say much about Tom Brady. Bruce Arians is pretty comfortable to saying, look, that's we got to be better than that.
Well, yeah, if you have open guys, you got to hit them.
And not misread coverage, which Tom Brady did not. He hurt his football team last night. He's thrown 8 interceptions this season, matching his total from last year. And how about this last night, Buck? He's now, in last night's game, he's 1 of 6 with an interception in passes 15-plus yards down the field. So anytime he tried to push it down the field, it was not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Once again, he's still with a new team, you know, just kind of feeling his way around. And if they don't play really good defense, I don't think he's the guy who carries the team. They have to be working on all cylinders. They have to be able to run the ball. He's got to be right on cue with his wide receivers. As I said, they're still just getting together. And then you throw Antonio Brown into the mix, and you're trying to prove a point why he's there, because you're the guy who got him there. Without you saying we want him, he's not there. So you're trying to prove a point in that way, too, that he's worth being there. Is he?
He targeted him 13 times last night. He threw it his way 13 times.
That's a lot.
He completed 8 of them for 57 yards. But, yeah, Chris Godwin was the next most targeted player. Mike Evans.
Yeah, Chris Godwin, he's just kind of coming back, though, too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there'll be a lot of national talk about Tom Brady today just because he was not good in a big spot again. They're 1-3 in primetime. The one win came over the Giants, and that took they had to come from behind
right
to beat the Giants in that game. So they just look kind of flat right now. And in these primetime spots, they don't look like they match up with the best in the NFC for sure. Saints have beaten them twice. Rams beat them last night. And so they don't really look the part of a contender. But you're right. I mean, the defense still has issues. But Tom Brady was brought there to win a game just like that. You know, 27-24,
right.
Plenty of time on the clock.
Absolutely.
You're Tom Brady. You're the GOAT. We're going to go win this game. Jameis Winston probably doesn't win us this game. This is a game you're going to help us win. Didn't last night. And they're 7-4 now. Rams, meanwhile, deserve some credit because I think people have forgotten about them in that division. They had some early struggles and injury problems, but they're 7-3, Buck. They're in first place. They play great defense. If Jared Goff's going to play like that and Sean McVay is going to be able to get that out of his quarterback, they're going to be right there with Seattle and New Orleans in the NFC. Right there.
I'm still taking Seattle the way Seattle's playing right now. Seattle, I think, will get themselves on a little mini roll again. That seemed like a team that didn't get any time off, that needed to have a break.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I would pick right now the Saints, as I did yesterday. I think what I've seen with a 7-game win streak and just the way they play defense, the weapons now to get Michael Thomas back to go with Alvin Kamara. They've got a schedule that's friendly the next 3 weeks to get to a big showdown game with the Chiefs in and around Christmas, which everybody's going to want to see. I think it's the Saints in the NFC right now, complete team as far as offense, defense, special teams, coaching, everything it's going to take. But I would put the Rams right there. Because the Rams, remember, Rams beat the Seahawks in their head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play again. But, boy, the Rams have been impressive of late. And that was an impressive win for them last night. Not so much for Tom Brady and the Bucks. And then it's, you know, Seattle, Arizona. Where do we put the Packers in this conversation? Are the Packers in that for you?
No, they play this week.
The Bears!
Is there any Bears fans anymore? Who's going to be quarterbacking for the Bears?
I've got to look that up. Is it Nick Foles? Is he going to be okay?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he hurt his hip. Well, remember, they looked like it was season ender. Then they said hip pointer, but I'll get you an update on Nick Foles coming up. But if it's not, it's going to be because Mitch Trubisky's gone into Operation Shutdown. Is he not?
He has.
Operation Unhappy?
Operation I Quit.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Yes.
But yeah.
Bears still suck.
It's the worst offense in this league, and that's...
And Green Bay, after what happened to them.
With the Colts? Yeah,
they'll be mad. Aaron Rodgers will throw 100 TDs.
Pretty good defense in Chicago, but yes, I mean, with that offense, it's going to be hard to beat anybody. All right, we'll come back. When we do, it's Salacious Gossip. We'll lighten the mood with the Blitz. What say you on this Tuesday as we're getting you into the holiday week? Get in the spirit with the Blitz. It's only as good as you make it. 447-3776 next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Make sure you've got Bud Light ready to go for the holiday weekend and all the football, all the family and fun. Hopefully you're being safe and smart, part of the solution, not the problem. But Bud Light always a part of the solution when you're being safe and smart and tipping them back, enjoying all the football and turkey. Only four great ingredients and brewed right here deep in the heart with the ice-cold Bud Lights. Also, those Bud Light seltzers, great choice for the holiday season. Those will go over well with the holiday variety pack they have with those Bud Light seltzers, only 100 calories and really, really refreshing. Tremendous stuff going right there with Bud Light. Bud Light Lime as well, all the Budweiser products and Brown Distributing and you know, it's football season. It's Thanksgiving. It's everything. That's it. That all equals Bud Light. Now, here it is. We have a problem. We have a problem, Mr. Godbolt.
What do we got going on now?
Thanks to our good friends at Grande Communications, who provide our phone service.
Correct.
They're doing some routine annual maintenance, and our phones are down.
So there won't be a blitz?
There will not be a blitz.
Oh, that's so good, because we don't like the blitz anyway. So this is a day.
Well, but
this is a free day.
Here's what we have. We have people eagerly calling, trying
right
to
now.
Get through, and they cannot. They're
but
being
they can
denied.
Hear us talking.
No, well, if they're listening on the radio, they can.
Okay, well, you're listening on the radio.
Or in the app.
And you are denied. You're denied.
Because if you do actually call in our show and we punch you through, you can then hear us through your phone.
Correct.
But that's not going to happen because you can't get through on our phone because Grande Communications is doing routine maintenance and there is no phones.
Someone says, you want to read my blitz? We could do that, but more of us and less of you is always a good thing.
Read my lips, read my blitz.
You mean an ass kicking instead of an...
The ass licking text of last... Oh, we can't say it on the right. The ass kicking text you meant to send that we wrote licking instead. Do you have...
That's today.
Is today the licking? Where's that going to take place?
Stop it. Everybody wants to know what time. That's all I heard yesterday. Is there a certain time that this is supposed to happen? Will you take photos? No, it was a mistake.
You meant to say come Tuesday there'll be an ass kicking on the golf course.
Yes.
You wrote licking. That's a problem. But where
it's
is
it's been
the
a problem
golf?
For me for the week. I know that.
And are the Texas Cheaters ready for it? Are they eager to
for the kicking?
See you on the first tee.
I it's been really hard getting over this. You know, a lot of things I just kind of just shimmy shake away. This one's been a little bit harder because people weren't letting this die. Can we let this die now?
No, we said in real time last week that never dies. That never goes away.
It never goes away,
that
ever.
That will always be part of your lore with the Texas Cheaters in this show. Kind of like when we thought we were talking to Andrew Bryant, or Brandt, and we were talking to Andrew Bryant.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
You know, Nunley and my story there, the baked potato story. Those things just become part of the
Maria Spagnola,
Maria Spagnola. When you were a pedophile in college with a high school girl.
Some of those things just don't go away. I wasn't a pedophile. Do you know how old she is right now? Do you know how? I'm 65. She's 62. How bad does that sound now?
Not so bad. Hey, you know what? Since you're
married,
though.
When she was 15 and I was... Well, she wasn't 15. She was 16. And I was getting ready to be 18. It was bad back then, right? Look at Zay going, no, that's you can't have that.
No, Zay's on my side on this. I like how you go to, we're both 60 now. Well, she was 15 when you were,
You know, there are some 18. Students, there are some students of people that have been taught by teachers who end up marrying them, and they've been very happily together, and their age difference could be 10 to 12 years.
Yes, but again, in real time, it's not okay. Once you're all adults... You can do that.
Some people grow up quicker than others.
Some people grow up quicker, yes.
She said she was 18.
Well, I mean, like, what is the president of France, Emmanuel Macron?
Yeah, Macron.
Macron, he's married now to a lady who was his teacher way back. And
yeah, nobody thinks anything of that,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, they do.
Does anybody think anything bad of him now?
Yeah, they do.
Or her?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. I'll tell you that story coming up. But no, I mean, so yeah, that licking story is a part of the show forever now, and we can't wait to hear about the details today. Our man CB on the text line reminds, don't forget to tell the Texas Cheaters to get some sun on your perineum.
Not today. There's not going to be not much sun out there today.
Yeah, actually, this little cloud cover is going to cover the day. But yeah, you're not going to get much sun on the taint today. Man. That taint going to happen.
This is really awful. Where's the blitz? Now I want the blitz after this. It's not happening, y'all.
Well, we don't have any phones. I know what we're going to do. Let's go to your blitz, brought to you by, you'll get the sponsor. But I have an idea for the blitz. Here we go.
Okay.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
People need just to quit texting, too. That's awful.
Says my wife is 6 years younger. You think when I was hollering at her when she was in the fifth grade? Nope.
See? Come on, man.
No, he's no. He's
all right.
With me.
Can I go first, Blitzer?
Well, yeah, because here's what we're going to do.
All right.
Zay has selected a series of our favorite sound clips that we play on the show, which is a good opportunity. When the phones are down, it's a good chance to kind of explain some of our favorite sound bites and where they come from, where they derive from.
All right, first sound bite.
Play them enough.
First sound bite, you're up.
I have to apologize.
All right, Steve Harvey,
yes.
Family Feud. Now, that was when he did Miss World, what's it called?
Miss Universe.
Miss Universe?
Yes.
And he gave it to the wrong person. Remember that?
Yeah.
He announced the wrong person as the winner, and he had to apologize.
He said they gave him the wrong card.
Yeah, he blamed someone else.
Yes. Oh, who does that? Oh, okay, here we go. Next blitzer, you're up.
Whatever happens, we just another player.
Nick Saban.
There you go.
Nick Saban.
Absolutely.
I thought I was recruiting. You know, when we get somebody hurt, we just crap another player.
That's how good we are. Roll Tide. Next blitzer, you're up.
All right, that's Mike Gundy. We probably have 50 of those sound bites from Mike Gundy's epic rant when he was a man and he was 40. So you'll hear those quite a lot.
And he's truly was body shaming. We don't do that on this show, thank goodness. We try to stay away from that.
He was talking about his quarterback, Rodney Reed, or what was his name? Bobby Reed at the time?
Bobby Reed, that's right.
Because he's fat.
Yeah, okay. Next blitzer, you're up.
Not so fast, midget. Not so fast.
Lee Corso, good one.
Yeah, there's another one that's not really kosher to say. But he's talking about Tyler Murray, right? Kyler
way,
Murray?
Can I tell you a story about Lee Corso? You may know this. The story goes this way, because Ohio State beat Indiana on Saturday. But when Lee Corso was the coach at Indiana, the story goes that he was a clown back then, too. He was kind of one of those off-the-wall coaches. You may remember Coach Corso. They were playing in Columbus, and they scored an early touchdown, were up 7-0. And Lee Corso had the team photographer take a picture of the scoreboard with the team in front of it because they were leading in Columbus.
Oh,
and Woody Hayes never let him.
I remember that.
Woody Hayes never let him live it down. Like he hated Lee Corso from that moment on.
And you guys are being very mean to Tavo now that you don't get a chance to hear him. Next blitzer, you're up.
Ain't that good?
Ooh, who was that?
Who was that?
When Terry Bradshaw talked about.
Oh, that's right.
Sam.
Oh, about Sam. That's
hear
right.
That again, Terry Bradshaw and Sam Ellinger.
Ain't that good?
Wow, I do remember when he said
ain't
that.
Ain't that good? Golly, Terry B. Okay, anybody else? What else do we have, Zay?
I want me some glory hole.
Oh, that's Jerry. Jerry. That speaks for itself.
That. Got any Mike Leach back there by any chance? Speaking of body shaming, what do we got from Mike Leach?
And if it happens to be their fat little girlfriend's, too bad.
Now, that's body shaming. My wife gets a kick out of that when she thinks that is hilarious.
It is hilarious because they lost the game and he thought maybe they were distracted and were thinking about their fat little girlfriend.
It's just terrible. Next blitzer, you're up.
That's 50% stupid.
There he is.
Thank
He's
you.
On fire.
Thank you, Mike Leach.
All right, let's give me another one of those. Next blitzer, you're up.
They're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled.
Where is he now? Mississippi State?
Yeah, they play Georgia. They played Georgia last week.
They play Mississippi rival game.
Shut it
rival
down.
Game.
Let's go home.
All right, so there's some. We apologize. Grande Communications have shut our phones down. We're
dang
working on it
mistake.
Feverishly. So,
by the way,
it says I think Saban was being facetious. Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
We took him out of context with that clip. He says he said people think we just crap another player, which you do
all the time, every year. Seem to do that.
Dang coach a mistake. Do we have dang coach a mistake, Zay?
This is a beautiful thing.
That's John L. Smith when he was a coach at Michigan State when the players are playing their tails off and the coaches are screwing it up.
You know what I think we should have? Twice a week, we should have no blitz and do this. What do you guys think about that?
Well,
you don't think they would like that?
I think the...
I think they're saying Grande sucks.
Shh.
That's what they're saying.
We want the phones to come back on. Can you stop?
Yeah, well, you guys need to stop doing that.
It's like when you rip the guy at the fast food place. You know he's going to spit in your hamburger.
Oh, that never really happens, though, does it? When you tell somebody, can you take this back? They do hanky-panky, seriously. Why are everybody looking? They don't do that. They don't do that.
You think?
People aren't really that evil, are they?
Hey, I know the customer's always right, but I'm always nice to those people. They're in control of my food.
I don't think I've ever sent anything back in my life.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn.